join tonight just to introduce, of course, not that you know, don't know him, but my son, Brother Jared Herdman. And we thank God, and not just because he's my son, but I thank God for any young man that feels the call of God in his life to do something in the ministry. And I feel thankful for any young lady that feels the call of God to do something for him in her life, be it a missionary or school teacher or serving the church. And so it's exciting. I'm pulling myself away from being his father, because I would say this the same thing about your son or anybody else's. It's just a joy. And I want to be an encouragement to young men and young ladies that feel the need to, or feel the call to separate themselves unto God to serve him with their life. It's a joy, and I hope that our church, I hope we never get tired of seeing that, and may God raise up more young men and more young ladies that would give their lives to win folks to Christ before it's eternally too late. So we're so thankful, and I'm thankful for Jared, and I'm looking forward to hear him come and preach for us, and I trust that you'll listen to him gladly. Jared, why don't you preach for us?
Amen. Thank you, Dad. What a blessing it is to be in church tonight. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see and I look upon his face. You know, there's a lot of things. One of my favorite preachers is Johnny Pope. And he says, you know, we're looking on to the sweet by and by, but right now we're in the nasty now and now. And sometimes it happens like that. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Sometimes the nasty now and now, it is funny, but there are a lot of trials that we go through in life. And the Lord has really impressed upon me in the past couple months. We've had a lot of people in our church that have gone to see the Lord, a lot of family members of people in our church who have gone to see the Lord. And I talked to my grandparents who have trials, and then you move your way down the age bracket to my parents who have different trials, yes, but trials nonetheless. And then move to my age bracket. Yes, I know from personal experience the trials that I go through. And you work your way down to teenage years. Teenage years are very stressful. Every single person in this room has trials that they're going through. And if you're just coming out of a trial, you may... How does it go? If you know you're either in a trial, you've just come out of a trial, or you're going to go into another one. Jesus said that ye shall have tribulation in this world. And so until we get to heaven and there is perfection, there will be trouble. So, the book of Philippians was written by Paul. And if you know anything about the life and the ministry of Paul, it seemed that troubles and trials faced him around every corner. He was beaten, he was left for dead, and he was in prison almost every other week, like a hotel suite. So who better to speak to these Philippians on how to have joy through trials? That's what I'd like to speak to you tonight. Here we find the Bible's prescription for perfect peace. Alliterated just like a homiletical student should. But prescription for perfect peace. Philippians 4, verse number 4. I guess I better open my notes if I'm going to know where I'm going. We all have trials. And Paul has laid out a plan for us to have peace through those trials. Because the trials aren't going anywhere. But we can have peace through those trials. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." One old preacher said, if the Lord says something once, pay attention. But if he says it twice, you better be listening, because he means it. Verse number 5, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to say as I bring this message to the congregation tonight. Lord, just use me as a vessel to be able to deliver the message to them that you've impressed and worked on my life through. Lord, I pray that I would be able to deliver this message. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three shuns. If you stick with me, there are three shuns in this prescription for perfect peace. The first shun is jubilation, and that is in verse number 4. That's not found directly in that verse, but rejoice, that being the thought there. I'm once again labeling for the alliteration, not alliteration, but the rhyming. Jubilation, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. What is our initial reaction whenever a trial is introduced to our life? Well, I'd suggest if I'm being honest with you and being honest with myself, it's not one of rejoicing. We're not just jumping up and down excited that we have a new trial to work through. But Paul says that that is what we're commanded to do. That's not a natural thing, and that's not an easy thing. So how are we supposed to do it? Well, one thing that helps me is that it says, rejoice in the Lord always. You don't have to rejoice in the trial. You don't have to rejoice in, if I give you a personal example, a failed test. I don't have to be just jumping up and down that I failed my test. I didn't fail the test, but I don't count me. I'm not out of the woods yet. We've got finals coming up here in a week, so it may be my story here in a couple weeks. Rejoice in the Lord always. You don't have to rejoice in the trial. The second shun that we see is that of moderation. Verse number 5 says, let your moderation be made known unto all men. Now, moderation is defined as average in amount, intensity, quality, or degree. So it is an even-keeled response. And just as that first step of jubilation is not our instant and natural reaction whenever a trial is introduced to our life, moderation isn't either. I drive a 2007 torch red Ford Mustang, and I really like my car. And about a month and a half ago, I was in Knoxville, and I was just sitting in traffic behind a semi. And this semi was going to take a left, and I was waiting for this semi to take a left. And he had changed his mind, overshot his turn, or for whatever reason, he decided he was going to back up. And I didn't realize he was backing up until he had backed up into the hood of my car. And can I be honest with you, my reaction at that point was not one that was average in amount, intensity, quality, or degree. It would be we'll say I was flustered, to say the least. It was not one that was even keeled. So it's not our initial and natural reaction to respond in moderation. But that's what we're commanded to do here. And Paul gives us a little glimpse on how we can do that in the last half of that verse, where it says, the Lord is at hand. If you remember on Sunday, Dad preached about the worst thing that could happen in our life is that we die. But then he said in the next breath that the best thing that could happen to us in this life is that we die and go see Jesus. The Lord is at hand. If we either go to heaven through death and go to see him then, or we're raptured out of here, it's going to be soon. This life is not our final life. Our final destination is heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Because if we're worried so much about what's going on here and what's going on now, there's going to be a lot of disappointments. These trials that are sure to come, as Jesus said they would, they're going to throw us for a loop if we have all of our spiritual stock laid in earthly bonds. So, as much as I want to take my 2007 Mustang to heaven, it's not going with me. And at this shape, I don't think it would not be the perfect state that it need to be in to be in heaven. The last shun in this prescription is supplication. Verse number 6, if you take a look, be careful for nothing. That's a hard thing as well. It seems like every single step of this process is hard. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Rejoicing in a trial as soon as it's introduced is not natural for us. Responding in moderation, being even keeled and not at our wits' end whenever something is introduced to us, is not natural for us. And this final thing, supplication, looking to God and asking Him for deliverance through these trials, that's not a natural thing either. We always look inward, look to ourselves to think, how am I going to solve this problem? And that's not where we need to be looking according to Paul. According to this prescription, we're supposed to do the opposite thing of what we want in every step of this process. What a confidence Paul puts in prayer. Instead of worrying and fretting and figuring out how we're going to solve this mess that we think we're in, we need to be going to prayer. The second half of this verse, it throws me for a loop. It says, after everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was little, my mom taught me whenever someone gives you something, you look them in the eye and shake their hand and say thank you. After they do a deed for you, after they do something for you, if I get a birthday present, I'd get a gift and I'd say thank you to my aunt or whoever it was. Or if I do a favor for something, for someone, after I complete the deed and I complete one of their tasks, they thank me because of what I did. But that's not what Paul is saying here. That's not the order. That's not the timeline of this thanks. Be careful for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So as you're making these requests to God, when a trial is introduced into your life, there's something that you're unsure about. And you ask God to bring you through this trial. In that same breath that you uttered your request to God, thank Him for solving it. Think about that for a second. It's a confidence in the ability of God. It's not, and that changes the whole situation to if God is going to answer this or if God is going to bring me through this trial. It's when God is going to bring me through this trial and how God is going to. He's promised to do that, and it gives a confidence. And I would suggest to you that this last one is a little more encouraging to me, because in the moment, in the heat of the moment, jubilation is not what we want to be giving. We're not rejoicing always. And moderation is not what we want to be giving. But when we have our faith and we are making requests to God and giving thanksgiving and knowing that He is going to see us through this trial, when something comes up, we can respond in jubilation because God has brought us through in the past. I mean, think of Paul. Like I said, every other weekend, it was a joke, but he was in prison a lot. He was going through trials again and again. And whenever he came up to a new one, he could rejoice in this because, oh, this is just another way that God is going to prove His goodness and His faithfulness to me, because He's going to bring me through this. That's how we can respond in jubilation. And He can respond in moderation, not at His wit's end, because He's been here before, and God has brought Him through this before. And that is done through supplication. Christ will provide those needs. What is the result of following this biblical prescription? Well, it's found in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. When we respond with jubilation, respond in moderation, and respond with supplication, our hearts and our minds are kept through Christ Jesus. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. I'm sure everyone in this room has heard of him. One of his other works was Prison Meditations. Now, John Bunyan, yes, was an author, but he was also a preacher of the gospel. And in that day, the state church was not a fan of his preaching because he was holding to the Bible. And so he was arrested. Now, he had his first wife had died earlier than that and had left him with four kids to raise. And then he remarried, and his second wife, through the struggle and through the anguish that his arrest and his imprisonment caused because of his preaching the gospel, the state imprisoned him, she caused her, the stress of that, to miscarry one of their children. And he stayed in prison for 12 years. So having lost his first wife, having lost a child and being imprisoned, by the world standard, this man has every reason to be down and out. But listen to what he says in his work, Prison Meditations. I am indeed in prison now in body, but my mind is free to study Christ and how unto me He is kind. He's bragging on the kindness of God. For though men keep my outward man with their locks and bars, yet by faith of Christ I can mount higher than the stars. Their fetters cannot spirits tame, nor tie up God in me. My faith and hope they cannot lame. Above them I shall be. John Bunyan didn't have his faith in his physical situation. He had his faith in a God who was above his physical situation. When those first two were given, if you responded the same way I did, When that semi hit my truck, I don't see how I could respond. I don't understand. And you may say to me, Jared, I don't understand how God expects me to respond with rejoicing, with jubilation, and with moderation, and to respond with supplication. But that's exactly what Paul says. You don't have to understand it. This peace of God, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It's not your understanding, and it's not mine. It's God's supernatural peace takes place in your life and gives you a peace that you can't understand. Because let me tell you something. If you are counting in your wit and your smarts and your ability to problem solve and your critical thinking abilities, then you have every right in the world to not be joyful and to not respond in moderation. Because if I'm counting on Jared Herdman to solve this trial that I'm going through, Jared Herdman's in a heap of trouble. But if I'm putting my faith and I'm trusting God, I'm asking Him to bring me through this trial while I'm thanking Him that He's going to bring me through this trial, I can respond with jubilation because God has got this. He's going to bring me through. I can respond in moderation that God has got. I'm not at my wit's end. I'm at Christ's end. And as you know, Christ is endless. You're not responsible for the solution. You're responsible to trust God for the solution. A popular dictionary defines peace as the freedom from disturbance. And if that's how we're defining peace tonight, we're all in sad shape. Because Jesus says, you shall have tribulation. You will have disturbance in this life. So if you're counting on those 3 weeks where you don't have a bill that's due or you don't have something go wrong, then you're going to be waiting a long time for peace. But if we commit today to follow this biblical prescription for peace, that supernatural peace that God promises to us can be present in the trial that you're currently in. And that's what I'd like to encourage you, as the Lord has encouraged me, to respond with jubilation, even when it doesn't seem like a very jubilating time. It's not an exciting time. Respond in jubilation in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Respond with moderation. Trust in God. And ease that God will take care of what He said He would take care of. And then finally, respond with supplication. Pray through it. Pray through it, asking God to provide a way. But then thank Him as He provides the way. And that's what I'd like to leave you with tonight. Trust God. Follow this prescription for peace. And then let Him take care of it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You for the peace that You've promised in this passage, Lord. And I pray that You'd help me and everyone here to apply it in our lives today, Lord. That we would be able to face trials with confidence, knowing that You will provide a supernatural peace to us.